I want to first start off by saying how thankful I am to be here this afternoon for the opportunity, the invitation, and I've said this the last couple of times I've stood and tried to preach that my desire seems lately has been to, as Brother James said, lift the Lord up, and that should always be our desire. Anyone who stands and teaches and sings and preaches, whatever it may be, if you're doing anything for the Lord, it should be to lift Him up. That's my desire today. My desire also is to feed the flock and try to disassociate myself and just proclaim whatever the Lord places on my heart. And my prayer and desire for you is that your hearts would be open, that you'd be able not to receive whatever I say. I pray that you look past me and just have a desire to hear from the Lord today. And so we'll pray for that, pray for the service, and please continue to pray for me. The message or the topic that has been placed in my heart is offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Now, that last song that we just sang, Who Am I? I thought fit just perfectly with this. Because as we look at that, and we'll read it here in a moment, but who are we that we can sacrifice or offer ourselves to the Lord? You know, think about who God is. God created all things out of nothing. And who are we? We have no value, no stature, nothing that's valuable to us. We have no righteousness in ourselves. So what do we have to offer the Lord? How can we present ourselves a living sacrifice to the Lord? And we'll turn to that reading in the book of Romans in chapter 12. First couple of verses there. And I want to make mention of this too. I've said this a couple times here lately as well. The majority of the New Testament especially, in fact, especially the epistles, a lot of the books that the Apostle Paul wrote, but in general, most of the New Testament was written unto saints, was written for saints, those that already have the testimony of salvation. And so if you don't have a time and a place that you can recall, not a physical time or a physical place, but somewhere that you know that something happened in your heart, that you were convicted of your sins, you felt that tugging, that drawing, that God was drawing you to come to Him, and you surrendered. You surrendered to the Lord. You gave in, and you felt that burn of sin go away, and you felt that peace just flood your soul, and God dwelt in your soul. You can feel that. You feel salvation. And if you don't have that time and a place, then you can do all the instruction that the Bible has, but it's not going to save your soul. You can be a good moral person and you'll be judged by those things. I believe it's the 20th chapter of Revelation tells us that we'll be judged according to our works. But if you're not written in that Lamb's Book of Life, then it doesn't really matter too much. And so I just want to throw that out there. And if you want to know who's doing the writing and who he's writing to, look at the first chapter, first couple of verses of every book. And it'll pretty much almost every time tell you who's writing and who's writing to. And that helps out a lot. But here the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints that are in Rome. You can find that in the first chapter, the first couple of verses of this book. So we keep that in mind as we read this. In chapter 12, verse 1, he writes, I beseech you, or I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so again, we find in that reading, of course, our base reading, our lesson reading in this, but the point, the first verse, presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now again, present you the question again, how can we do such a thing? We are, this flesh is still in the sinful nature, is dead in the sight of God and everything. What do we have to offer to the Lord? And as before we get to that point, a couple of other things we want to look at in this reading. It says, be not conformed to this world. It is very easy for this flesh to want to go back to what it was before the Lord saved your soul. There are temptations that this flesh has. There are things that this flesh loves to do. And if you give in to those things, it just becomes second nature and we kind of just blend in with the rest of the world. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've been called out of this world, you are now a saint of God, a child of God. And you are we are to separate ourselves from this world and keep in mind the Scripture teaches us that we're just pilgrims in this land. This is not our home. We talked this morning at North Star about temptations and the different temptations in the Bible and the examples that we have of men who overcame temptations and were obedient to God and men who gave in to temptation and the cost that was paid for doing such things. Sometimes we can fear the things of this world more than we can fear God. Now we know if you've been saved, we know the end result, we know the end story that it basically paraphrasing, God wins. God wins and death and hell, everything is cast into the lake of fire. We know those things. But who do we have to fear or what do we have to fear that is greater than God? God is all-powerful. He even created Satan and the power. He created all those things and He has power over those things. So what else do we have to fear? You know, you might have a coworker or a boss at work or a family member and you might feel led to talk to them or do whatever. And a lot of times Satan, he'll jump in there and he'll just come up with all kinds of excuses. Sometimes we do it ourselves. Well, I can't do this because they'll say this or they'll do that. And even if you're lost, excuses can come as well too. But God is all powerful in all things. So we're not to conform to this world or be like the people of this world or stay in that sinful nature that God called us out of, but transform ourselves by the renewing of the mind. Now, of course, when you're saved, there's a transformation that takes place inside. Inside your soul has been transformed. Like I said before, that burden of sin, that hard rock, stone cold heart, the sin was taken out and replaced with peace in the Spirit of God. So the inside has been transformed. It's been changed. The outside is still the same. Now the way we think, the way we feel, those things, they kind of change too, but it's a constant war and a constant battle that takes place between the soul and the flesh. And so we must let what is inside come out. And we'll get to that here in just a moment as well. This ability to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, holy and acceptable. Now, what is the standard, I ask, what is the standard that we measure to? Who says what is acceptable to God? Who says what is holy in the sight of God? Well, God does. And we know those things, but I want us to keep in mind, it's very easy to know these things, but not do them. And so, I want us to kind of just self-examine ourselves. We have that knowledge, but let's put it to action. We move on and we look in the book of Hebrews. Keeping in mind, how do we present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord? The book of Hebrews in chapter 9. We kind of go back. This is talking about rituals and things that God Himself instituted in the Old Testament. The priests and all the things that they had to do to prepare themselves to offer sacrifice. The book of Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 1 says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of the glory shadowing the mercy seat, and of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest or made known, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Now, we want to pause there for just a moment. We want to kind of reflect on these things. You can find the different things that the priests did, that Aaron and his sons did in the book of Exodus in chapters 29 and 30 as they prepared themselves to make the sin offering. The things that were used, they had to change. They had to put on priestly garments, if you will. And they had to put it on in a very specific way. They had to overlay themselves very specific. But they had to prepare themselves just to enter into this Holy of Holies. They had to offer for themselves, and then they could offer for the people. And this was a sin offering, and they had to take the blood and sprinkle it over the mercy seat and cover it. This was all things that had to be done that was ordained by God Himself. God told Moses to tell the people this is what needs to happen. It needs to be very specific, in order, and don't deviate from it. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to or we assume it's the Apostle Paul. It's what he's trying to say here and trying to write here. One thing we want to kind of sidestep here a little bit, and we want to kind of just show the picture that all of this is made possible. Of course, the answer is Christ. Christ is the answer for everything. But we want to show that, and we want to try to dissect it, and the reason why Christ is the answer and how it came to be. Christ, or the Old Testament, the high priest went in once a year and he offered sacrifice. The sacrifice had to be perfect. Lamb without spot and without blemish. That's basically a representation or a picture of being sinless. Now we know that all men has sin. Everybody has sin. That's why Christ had to come. That's nothing new. The priest had to prepare himself in order to enter this place. But the picture this all represents is that Christ is the high priest and the sacrifice at the same time. Christ entered to this place. He offered himself on the cross. He became the living sacrifice. He sacrificed himself. So he was the high priest. I only had to go in once. And he offered himself, who was the God in the flesh. That's what it required. And he only had to do it one time. And it satisfied the wrath of God. And so that's why all these things are made possible. That's why salvation is made possible. The blood of bulls and goats, they didn't accomplish salvation. They didn't save anybody back in the Old Testament. These were ordinances that God put in place as a representation of things to come. Representation of Christ. And so that's what he's trying to say here and trying to paint the picture here. We continue on in the same chapter in verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And so we have our answer, the representation of the high priest in the Old Testament, the sacrifices that they presented was Christ presenting himself a living sacrifice that made all of these things possible. Now, When you're saved, by the grace of God, as we said before, the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. You can find that in the book of Romans in chapter 8, verses 10 through 13. And if you're saved, Christ, He dwells inside of you in the flesh because of sin, is still dead. And so, again, how do we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord? One more place that we want to look at, Romans chapter 5. Please bear with me and continue to pray for me. We'll get to this, bring it all about here in just a moment. Romans chapter 5, verse 11, just one verse here. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The atonement, the blood that was shed. You recall the account, I'm sure the kids learn it in Sunday school, I know I did, and we teach it at Sunday school at North Star. But the Egyptians, when they had the Israelites captive and all the different plagues that took place, the final thing was God, He told Moses there, tell the people to take a lamb and sacrifice it and spread the blood on the doorpost there. And at night, I'll pass by, and if I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And we know from that account that the Egyptians, they did not do those things, and they lost all of their firstborn. But the Israelites were all spared. And what that was a representation of was the atonement. Was Christ's blood shed covering our sins? That's what atonement means. To renew or to make new or to cover. And so when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, we have nothing to present to God. So what do we present? We present that what God has given us. Our salvation. That Spirit inside of us. That's what we present unto the Lord as a living sacrifice. The book of 1 Thessalonians. Again, this was a writing, that was written to the church at Thessalonica. So again, to those that have been saved by the grace of God. Chapter 5, verse 16, kind of instruction to those saints there. It says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. There's a point that I want to point out here, the verse. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, or make you holy. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the answer. How do we present ourselves a living sacrifice? Not only those things, but we buffet our bodies daily. Every single morning, the first thing that you do is give God the glory. Give and Sabrina and I, we kind of had this talk. There's a lot of times in the morning, we'll get up and she gets up with me a lot of times and she'll make me breakfast and do all those things. Help me to get ready to go to work, which has freed my time up. But a lot of times I waste that time. You know, I might get on my phone or look at, you know, Facebook or look at my emails or look at all these different types of things instead of being the first thing is just thank God for another day that you have given me. And I found that when I put that time to good use and I just try to dedicate that time to the Lord, whether it be thanking Him or praying or studying, a lot of times that's the only time that I can study and pray. And when I do those things, everything else just seems to kind of fall in line. Then when I go to work, everything that we do, we must do to the honor and glory of God. Everything. Not just here in this place. Not just when we have Bible study. But when we go to school, when we go to work, when we go have a coffee or have dinner, whatever we do, we are to honor and glorify God. It's kind of hard to do those things when you wake up and you just jump on your phone real quick or just you've got things that you just need to do before you dedicate any time to the Lord. It's difficult to do those things. But if we do those things, we buffet our bodies every single morning, every single day. We give God the glory in everything. We thank Him for everything. We quench not the Spirit. We do those things. And in verse 23, as he said, the very God of peace sanctify you. Sanctify means to make holy. He will sanctify you wholly, completely. Then we can offer our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. What's inside is living. This flesh, it's decaying. It's decaying. The older we get, it decays. And one day it's going to go back to the dust of the earth and whatever's inside. That's what God's concerned with. You ever think about the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 3, when Satan deceived Eve? You see, Satan knows God's rules, if you will. He knows the commandments. He knows the law. He knows the scriptures. He knows those things. And he takes them and he twists them just a little bit to have enough truth in it to believe. He knew the law that God gave Adam because he told it to Eve. He went to Eve and offered her the tree, and she told, we're not supposed to. God said, we're not to take of this tree. And he said, well, God said that because he doesn't want you to be like them. He said, when you eat the tree, you'll not die. You see, Satan knows the laws that God gives. He knows the commandments. He knows the scriptures. And he twisted it just enough for Eve to be deceived. And so you as saints of God, if you have a testimony, if you have been saved by the grace of God, we must offer ourselves a living sacrifice. We must offer ourselves to the Lord. And we must separate ourselves and not try to puff ourselves up or look in the mirror and judge ourselves. But God's got this kind of holy mirror, if you will. And we must present ourselves before that. And then if we do that, it'll expose all the imperfections that we have in our life. Then we've got to kind of cut those things away. They don't bring honor and glory to God. They don't need to be in our lives. I know that's easier said than done. I've got plenty of things in my life that need to be cut away. And I need the Lord's help in those things. But if we simply just submit ourselves to the Lord, then God can use us. Then we can let our light shine. That's what the glory of God is. It's the light. You look in Revelation, I think it's 21, that this city, this new city, doesn't need any light, doesn't need any need of light, doesn't need the sun, doesn't need the moon, doesn't need anything, because God in all of His glory, His Son, is the light of that place, lights up everything. That dwells inside of you. And if you let that light come out, other people take notice, other people see. Book of Matthew chapter 5, 14 and 16 says everybody has a light in them. If you're saved, he's talking to his disciples there. He says, you're the light of the world. A light, a city that has a light on a hill cannot be hid. And he goes and talks about a candle, that a man doesn't simply light a candle and then hide it, but he holds it out and so it lights up the whole entire room for everybody to see. That light inside of you, we need to do the same thing. Let the light come out so that you can see. You can see where you're going, where you're supposed to go, but that everyone else can see those things as well too. I present that to you, and remember the instruction, remember the atonement. Who provided the atonement, the covering? Who sanctified you if you've been saved? There's nothing that we did, there's nothing that we can do to make ourselves holy. There's nothing that we can do to cover our sins. God had to do that through His Son, and He did it gladly, loving us even when we are in our sinful state. God could have left us in that state, and He would still be God. Couldn't count Him any less. But I hope that this has helped you in some way, shape, or form, and pray for me that I'd be able to do those things, basically practice what I preach, but that we all, that all of God's people. And here's the thing, too. I know that we have here, you've got family members and friends and everything, and you know those people pretty good. The same thing at North Star. We've got family there, and I know them pretty good. They know me pretty good. And so a lot of times it can be hard. Well, you've got this in your life. You need to do this. You need to do that. But to look past those things, and even with ourselves, look past those things and just consider the soul of the individual. Pray for those things, and I appreciate your patience and your attention this afternoon. I'll turn it back over to Brother James.